Welcome into the National Hour for the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Four games on tap last night, none bigger than the Vancouver Canucks and the New Jersey Devils.
What a match.
And this thing just kept getting better and better as the game went later and later. And I, to this day, still do not like 3-on-3 hockey.
I don't.
But that was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah. I tell you what, the Vancouver Canucks just feel like a team destined to make the playoffs by one point. Like Besser blowing that heater by Binnington. You know, them scraping back last night to get to OT and then get the extra point. Like, they are fighting.
Still going to be tough.
Oh, it's tough, but
it's
gonna
be tough.
They're scrapping it out, boy.
Watching the third period and the end of the second of that game, I was trapped in Amazon. Couldn't get out of Amazon.
Oh, you got in the old Amazon trap. You're Amazon, like, I'm going to toggle, but I can't.
You got the pinwheel?
No, I can't get out.
I want
to flick.
There's no flicking.
I was locked in, just stuck in there watching.
Did you order any Lego or anything?
No, I just watched.
I recently ordered Lego.
But I will say, watching Quinn Hughes is the best thing, I think, in the NHL. Like, he is out of this world good.
He almost played 32 minutes last night,
and
six shots.
You know, Canucks fans were listening, like, oh, yeah, why don't you watch? It's nice when he's on the East Coast so I can watch the third period of his games and not just the first period and a half.
For me, he may have won the MVP last night.
I mean, what a show.
He's unbelievable.
Even the game-tying goal, like the way he's able to kind of straddle the blue line and then put the puck in, no bomb, just get it to the net. There's so much havoc there. DeBrusque is there. Garland's there.
That Suter, who's been so good for them.
He did all that himself.
Yeah.
It's 2 points because of him.
Yeah. And he twists the game into knots, man.
And then in overtime, they just, like, go behind the net until he's ready to come on again. they just take it behind their own net.
His 3-on-3 breakaway.
Yeah, he just blew by everyone.
Like, he looked like McDavid.
He did.
He skated through and took his shot on goal like it was McDavid.
It's like the college kids who comes back in summer and plays with his beer hockey buddies.
That's the closest anyone has ever looked for me.
Well,
as close to a McDavid like skate through the neutral zone into the zone.
Let me tell you something. The new fastest skater in the NHL, number one, Quinn Hughes with a top speed in miles per hour of 24.56 miles per hour in a burst. That's now ahead of Natchez and all the other guys that you think of as fast.
Was that last night?
On the list. It actually wasn't. I think it was the game prior where he also skated through the entire team. But he is hitting these new highs that even he hasn't hit before.
Because he's well-rested? Like, I thought he's supposed to be hurt or
I think it's a wrist or a finger.
70%.
I think the injuries.
But you don't think of him
as fast
as a burner.
When I first heard that, I was like, well, he's a lateral guy. He's a shifty guy. Yeah. He's not top speed fast. No, he's top speed fast.
I saw that.
Yeah.
With my own eyes.
He can go.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that hockey game last night. And boy, Markstrom, after the Lekkerimäki, just fires one into a wide open net. I don't know what Markstrom thought he was going to do, but and then he just explodes the stick, goes flying off the ice. Devils, bad vibes after that one.
Yeah, they're on the bad vibes list. Washington Capitals had a dollar bill taped to the jersey of Jacob Chychrun today. That's a good vibes team. They're having fun out there.
Tomorrow on the National Hour, let's rank the vibes team.
Vibes, all vibes, he believes. Not great, Bob.
Yeah. As Sammy pointed out to me earlier in the show, it's Tuesday, not Friday.
Yes.
Which means Steve Ellicott's going to join us, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, CEO of Clearsight Analytics. We'll crunch a few numbers, I'm sure, over the next 15, 20 minutes. But I want to get into them a little bit about Markstrom last night off of giving up the shootout winner.
Yeah, well, we're also going to ask him about Merzlikins, who's a dirty cheater.
Ooh, we got a ton for you. Let's welcome him in, Steve Ellicott. How are you, buddy?
Very good, boys. Just got here in time. The train was delayed, but I'm here.
What are we sporting on the top of your head right now? What do you got for us up there?
Oh, this is just a hat from Snowbird, Alta Snowbird. It's in Utah, skiing destination. I don't know. You guys don't see me on weekends because I'm usually skiing.
We got invited by Ryan Smith, the owner of Utah, you know, to ski and golf and do whatever we want.
Yeah, I'm pushing pretty hard to get out there myself, Kipper. I'm pretty close to those guys, so I'm working on it as well.
All right.
Park
City trip?
Last night, Vancouver and New Jersey, I want to stay with that a little bit because we saw Demko come back. I mean, at sometimes I watched last night and I'm like, I'm not sure how strong he looks or how fast he's able to get up. And then late in the game, he's looking like every bit the superstar goaltender that he is. And then on the other side, I see Markstrom with the reaction of giving up the shootout winner. And I hated it, Valley.
Yeah.
Absolutely hated that emotion from a guy who's supposed to be your rock back there.
You know, first on Demko, I'm watching the game from the lens of, is he going to move well enough out there to be able to play through a playoff series? Goal number two, if you remember, it went off the back wall, and then he didn't go for it. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember that
yes.
one?
Yes.
You know, that to me, it's always one of those, like, did you not go for it because that was a decision? You know, you've got either a mental block, you're not confident that you can get there, or you gave up on it. But for those three reasons, I'm out. You know, it's like Shark Tank style. And so, you know, look, I think everything hinges on him being at his best. By the time he got to overtime and he made that split save post to post, that's the first time I'm saying to myself, all right, you know, it's not physical. So what happened earlier in the game to get you to that point, I think it's a mental block a little bit for him to get through. I'm telling you, when this guy is at his best over the last 4 years, he's a top five goalie, but he still doesn't look all the way right for me. He was better with his feet under him. You could see he wasn't getting too wide, but I still thought there was a lot of robotic, even lethargic movement in him after saves. And I think that sometimes if you're not paying attention to he and Markstrom the way, not to say the way I do as an arrogant way to say it, it's just actually the way I watch hockey. It's like watching it through a straw. There's a lot going on around the goalie, but my main focus since I was 7 years old is just looking at the goalie. And I'm sure you guys are looking at many other things that I'm not seeing. And when I'm watching Markstrom right now, it's funny because I texted a goalie coach friend of mine before the game. Somebody on the social side in New Jersey sent out a picture of him and his stance for pregame skate at 10:30 in the morning. And I told that NHL goalie coach, I said, I would have ran down the stairs to tackle that guy because it wasn't a good look. It looked like Markstrom right now is sitting in a chair when he's in his goalie stance. And I want to explain why that's a problem. When you're in your stance and you're sitting as if you're in a chair, you have to get out of that seated position to make your save. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine that a low blocker shot, you're not making it from down there. You've got to get yourself up to proper elevation and then track down. So it's to say there's a massive delay in his movements. The shots that are coming at net for him right now, guys, you could see it if you just press pause before the shot's taken. He's making himself really small and he's sitting, and that's why he's been so leaky. Since the four seasons, Kipper, four seasons. I've heard you say that a few times.
Thank you, buddy.
Just calm yourself.
Gotcha.
Four nations. Yeah, I got it. So he's given up 2 goals in the 6 hole, 3 goals in the 7 hole, so that's between the arms, 6 under the glove, 2 under the blocker. Any goalie coach will tell you that when pucks are coming through you, it's because you don't have your posture, you don't have your elevation, you're getting low and wide. And that's why pucks are going through a really big goalie. The goal that he gets beat on in the shootout that he breaks his stick on, press pause as you see the player coming towards net on him. He got himself 6'5", and he got himself that small. It's almost that reaction afterwards, that was on him. That was him being so frustrated with not feeling his game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for on the other end of that rink there with the Canucks guys, you've been on Lankanen as a potential breakout guy. At the start of this year, you put him as one of the guys who could end up looking really good. What do the Canucks do as they, you know, they're in this fight for a playoff hunt? If Demko can go, Would you be playing Demko ahead of Lankanen, who's played 10 of the last 11?
Yeah, Lankanen's last game, he was awful. It was against the against the Rangers, and I heard afterwards he may have had the flu, so that probably explains that. And I don't know if you guys heard that as well, but if you can get Demko healthy, he's the guy, no questions asked. Maybe, just maybe, after that overtime, he's past that block. Like, I didn't have a lot of injuries, guys. I had a MCL once. I came back, I told you guys, when I got stepped on by the skate. But there is scar tissue that breaks away that sometimes you feel like when you're in your butterfly, as the scar tissue breaks away, that you're re-injuring yourself. And there is that mechanism that just sort of stops you in your tracks a little bit. And again, to me, he's just not moving right now. Demko's not moving where I would want to see him if I was going to start him to start a series. But that's not even the conversation we're having right now. It's really who's going to be the horse to get us in, and it's just game by game. And it's funny, like, you go around the league right now, this is one of those years where it's fluid in net. There are a lot of questions for who's going to play, and I think it boils down to this schedule that we're in right now. Guys haven't had enough practice. Their practice reps have been bad, and in most cases, not at all. You know, like, the Rangers get blown out against Calgary, Toronto. They don't even have skates the next day. They don't even have practice the next day because, you know, Laviolette's saying, look, we're in a schedule stretch here of 7 games over 15 days. And he's like, I can't do it. You know, and that's how bad it is. And I think, you know, one of my favorite sayings, guys, and Benoit Allaire, our goalie coach, used to say this to Henrik and I all the time coming off of a day off. Don't judge yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't talk yourself into a slump because you're coming off of a day off. And I'd always say to myself, like, what does that mean? It's one day off. What? There's no way there's that much of an impact because timing gets off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yo-Yo Ma, the world's most famous cellist, famously once said, he said, yeah. Are you familiar with him, Borny?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So now you're teasing me or what?
No. So, I mean, I am familiar with him. I don't have him on my playlist or anything, but
no clue over here.
Okay. Well, greatest quote of all time. He said, when I miss one day of practice, I notice. If I miss 2 days of practice, my wife notices. If I miss 3 or more days of practice, the world notices. And right now, I'm not seeing goaltending. We've seen the save percentage come down. I'm not seeing great goaltending in most nets most nights right now. I'm seeing everybody either losing their net, like nonstop losing their net, like as if they're prep school goalies, which is alarming because NHL goalies, Borny, you typically don't see a goal going in because they've lost their net. And I'm seeing a lot of guys getting stuck on angle, a lot of guys deep, and more importantly, and this is probably most important, bad posture, getting too wide, getting too low, sinking, making yourself look small. I've never seen it this bad right now. It's a really tough stretch.
Sit up, man. You're hunching. Yeah, there's better posture.
I feel the same way.
There you go. Valley, in terms of now playoffs, would the top two teams right now with the toughest decision on who to start in that game one belong to, say, the Toronto Maple Leafs and maybe Carolina? Is there anyone else that you can think of out there?
Yeah, I've got my list right here. And you know, it's neat because we're getting to that stage where, you know, we might be locking into teams and matchups and we're looking at the first round. And the NHL, I don't know if you guys saw it, but yesterday they put out, if it was, you know, first day of the playoffs, these are the matchups. So I just went that way through the list because it makes the most sense. And it held today. So if you're looking at the Vegas-Minnesota series, for sure, Gustafson, if you want to talk about a guy that's actually held his crap together the entire season, it's him. He has great posture. I was watching he versus Ottinger last night. I can't even believe Ottinger. It doesn't even look like Ottinger. He is at least a foot or two outside his base with his feet. He is way out. Wow. And I said this last
week. He makes me
nervous. He makes me so nervous. And you know what? I actually think it's past that. I think that if I'm in management in Dallas, I'm really pausing with a little patience here and just leaning towards DeSmith without question.
Wow.
DeSmith's had an awesome year. And like we saw this with Washington. They started Grubauer. They went to Holtby. They probably knew all along Holtby was going to be the guy. But you know what? It probably lit a fire under Holtby that year, too, when Washington won. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think there's something there, too. I wouldn't be surprised in game one if they go to Smith, and especially because we talked about how Colorado, one of the best rush teams, no question, hands down. So it's a matchup for DeSmith. over Ottinger. I don't like Ottinger at all right now. And I've always been a huge fan, just lost his game. Doesn't have it right now, just the way it is. I think it's going to be interesting, too, if St. Louis is the team that gets in between Binnington and Hofer. Like, there's something there, too. Hofer's been playing really well, sneaky good.
You can't start Binnington, the gold medalist hero.
Just hear me out here. This is fluid. It's week to week. It's week to week. And not a bad idea, once again, light a fire under a guy. I think Binnington, didn't he play well angry at the Four Nations?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's how he plays. The guy, he tries to manufacture it. That's why he's always in the middle of it. That's why he's always trying to pick a fight. Through the lulls of the season, I've always believed this about him. He needs to get pissed off. He plays better angry, plays better channeling that emotion. And what would piss him off more than to play Hofer in the first, second game, and then Benner sitting there, and then all of a sudden he comes in and lights it up. I can see a scenario like that happening. Bobrovsky for sure. And it's going to be Ottawa, so Bobrovsky versus Dr. Seasonoff.
It's going to be Ottawa. Hold on now.
Thompson for sure against Montembeau if it's going to be Washington, Montreal. And, you know, it's getting really close here, and I think it's going to be Anderson if they start with the conversation, Kochetkov, Anderson, against whether it's going to be Markstrom or Allen. And who you should go with, at least from what I'm watching, I would go Anderson and Allen. If it was Devils and Carolina right now. But I'm telling you, I'm watching this every week right now, and I'm just going to stay focused on, are guys bringing their feet under them? Are they carrying posture? It's really fascinating. I had a really cool conversation with another goalie coach this week. We were talking about, I actually heard the segment, so he called me. And he said to me, he said, I like the part where you said how you can tell if a guy's ready for playoffs if they have their patience based on pressing pause and seeing the puck halfway between the shooter's blade and reaching the goalie, and the goalie's still standing there in posture. And Borny, I sent you that text.
The Jari pitcher.
Jari one. That Borny, that is the opposite of posture, right?
Ugly.
Right. So low. Like, you don't even have a shot. So what he said, which I thought was fascinating, he said, we're doing a lot of work with studying baseball batters versus hockey goalies. The only two positions that really receive the ball or the puck. Baseball batters, if you're seeing a successful batter that isn't going early or isn't late, you will see the ball halfway between the pitcher's hand where it exited and the batter's hands are quiet. They're silent. They haven't moved. The lower half can move, but the hands haven't moved yet. If the hands go early, then he's early. And if the hands are late, meaning the ball is between the pitcher and past that midway point, then they know they're late. But I thought that was pretty interesting because it relates to the goalie. It's the same thing. It's the only position. Like, you can say goalie's the same as quarterback or pitcher, and it's not, because quarterbacks drive the play. Pitchers drive the play.
Right.
Goalies receive the play. A batter is receiving the ball. So I thought that was interesting. So I'm looking at everything that way. Now let's get to Stolarz, okay? Because I think this is a matter of getting him all the way together. And I'm talking about, go back to the Colorado game. I sent a tweet today because the last time I did this, somebody in the switchboard was able to put that on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if we have that golden touch right now. I'm wondering. So the reason why I sent it was because I took all the stats. And I, you know what, Sammy? I heard Sammy say, I think we're being too hard on Stolarz. This guy's been great all year. I don't want to, I guess, right, Sammy? But you know what? It's not like Sammy's incorrect. He just doesn't know, all right? And I'm going to explain it.
That happens a lot. Right? Here we go.
Happens a lot. Yes, Valley.
Welcome to my world. Yeah.
And, you know, and here's the thing. Goals that are being scored every night in the NHL, it's very difficult for the common fan to say good goal, bad goal. Very subjective, right? So I came armed with some stats here.
Okay.
The shot that beat Stolarz in that game on the power play, Nathan MacKinnon, right-handed shooter, walking into what is not the slot area. He shoots it before the slot area. That shot, clear-sighted, that sequence, we have tracked 984 of them this year. All situations, 26 goals have been scored. 2.6% chance that puck goes in the net.
Wow.
All right. So when we're coming and we're trying to arrive at expectations for our goalies, I'm telling you it's a bad goal because everybody else is stopping it consistently. Now, I also went to look at it with time and space because in that particular instance, he had time and space. Time and space, same sequence, same location, same handedness, 214 shots, 11 goals with time and space for a 5.1%. Okay, so he goes up to five, but remember.
And McKinnon's got nine of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the funny thing, Kipper, because the first thing I looked at was on that particular night, it was two Saturdays ago, did anybody else score from there? And those were the other two screenshots. It was actually Stamkos twice. One was a 3-on-2, which you can see the goalies laid out. And the other one was the exact same shot on the power play. Stamkos beat Soderblom 5-hole.
Oh,
now,
interesting.
The next interesting thing I thought was, well, then let's look at it on the power play. 3.7% chance with time and space on the power play, 7.1% chance. So if you remember the conversation we've had in the past where the best goalies in the NHL, they're all league average on the high danger, one every three, just like clockwork, everybody. If you're better than the average guy, you are really overshooting on the mid-danger chances.
Oh, look at this. We got the pick valley.
So that's Stamkos's. There you go. 5-on-4. Same location as the one that McKinnon scored on Stolarz.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing that I kind of arrived at myself after looking at this was that if goals went in from here with regularity, with a lot of regularity, hockey would be a 17-15 sport. Like that would be the score every night.
Yeah, your lacrosse scores at that point.
Right, Borny? So this is the expectation. I'm saying that when you're watching the game, Sammy, and you see one of these clear view shots from here off this angle, that your goalie's got to stop that for you because, as I've said many times, you have a bad goal at one end and there's not one at the other, you're going to lose. And in the playoffs, when the margins get thin and the stakes get high, you're in trouble. So as far as Stolarz's total goals against since the Four Nations, lost my piece of paper, got a lot going on here. It's been rather high, though.
Yeah.
Too much mid-danger, too many low danger compared to the rest of the league. He's actually in the bottom five. And he's in the bottom five with like Georgiev and guys that you don't want him to be there with. It's hard to see, right, Sammy? Like, it's hard to say, I don't want to overreact and be too hard on him.
Oh, there's
right?
the McKinnon one. Yeah. I shouldn't go in.
From that angle, I see no net.
Right. And the thing is that he can be out a little bit further. And he didn't go down early. But what he did do is he went down in neutral and he didn't track towards the release. And I know Stolarz, this guy's making that save 10 times out of 10 when he's at his best. And until he's doing that at his best, and you leave it here right now because this, I'll explain a drill that you can use for your goalies to get them really good at this because I use this in the warm-up all summer.
Yeah.
You put a puck right where McKinnon's about to release it. You have a player that skates around the top of the circle and then skates down and shoots that puck, that stationary puck. And the first three are 5-hole, so the goalie gets his timing. He goes down really hard. And then it pitches him forward, and then he can move if there's a rebound. And then the second group of three, the shooter shoots anywhere, shoot the score. And guys, we do this every morning. Nobody ever scores on that drill. You don't score.
Right.
That's why we do it.
Right. And it's, that's the point.
It helps the goalie get their patience and timing before practice begins. Yep. That goal to me is a practice warm-up goal.
All right, I know you're chomping at the bit. A disallowed goal late in the island, ripped off your Islanders a point.
Yeah, we're talking about all the margins and playoffs and what it's going to be. These goals that get called back are going to play a part in the postseasons. You know, Merzlikins gets a little bump from Palmieri. You can debate about where the contact is. You can debate about was there time to reset. Islanders fans are mad. Other people are mad. Everyone's mad. What are your thoughts on that goal and what we can do?
Teams I root for from childhood, Leafs.
Yeah.
First pro team, Islanders, Rangers. I mean, that's who I want to see do well.
Awesome.
So I was probably as pissed off as Palmieri last night. I thought that was a joke.
Right.
I really didn't like it.
Okay, good.
No, I didn't like it at all. It was awful. And that take away my bias that I do want the Islanders to win that game last night. Here's the thing. I'll just use Henrik Lundqvist as an example because we talk about this all the time. He and I hate the fact that Merzlikins is down in the reverse VH when that puck is in the corner before it passes to the point on that goal. Henrik would have played it on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
The puck would have advanced to the point. And this is a rule in goaltending. If you push with your right leg, you stop with your left. So had Henrik been in net, his right skate never would have gotten near Palmieri because he would have been in his crease where he should be. You want to be deep there anyway. If you ever watch Merzlikins enough, he's always out at the top of the paint. He's always getting into crap. He's always getting tied up by his own man sometimes or the opposition. But it hurts your overall game over the course of a year. It does hurt your save percentage. The idea on that play is to play on the old crease line, that line across, the imaginary line across the middle of the crease. That was 85, 86 is when the NHL adopted the arc. Furthermore, if you are in the reverse, like he was, a lot of guys play it like that, that's fine. When that comes out to the point, you typically track your head on that puck, and then you actually get separation with your right skate off the post. You're able to advance, and you're still stopping with your left skate. Again, doing it that way, you wouldn't even get near Palmieri. Mm-hmm. The way that he did it was he got up with his, to me, my opinion, incorrect leg. Mm-hmm. And then he pushes off his left skate, but stops with his right. But his right is, you know, there's a lot of pad overhang there. And that's sort of in Palmieri's space. You can't really get a good scope of it on camera. But that's Palmieri's path to the front of the net. Mm-hmm. Then the second part is, okay, fine. A little bit of touch contact, not a lot. But I counted just shy of a full second, which is enough time to get into a full set after the contact, as incidental as it was.
So what is the deal? The skates are out, but his ass is in?
I thought that the initial contact, Kipper, from Merzlikins, if you had a goalie, ex-goalie, in the Situation Room, I think they would have really put their reputation on the line there and said, you know what? No, this is wrong. He's outside. He's got his skate and pad on the outside. And the initial contact was enough time for him to get full setup. Yeah, I see him with his arm touching Palmieri at full extension, and Palmieri's a good 2 feet away from him mm-hmm. as the puck's being shot. So, no, for many reasons, I don't like that goal at all. It really it pissed me off. Hated it.
I always say to people, too, like, there's not, like, good goals and bad goals. There's just goals, and we're putting a grocery stick somewhere in the middle, and some of them are going to be close. That one is close, yeah. I get it, but it is frustrating.
I'm pretty close to saying it's as good as it's going to get. I really am. Like, at the end of the day, if you're in the blue paint as a skater, you totally run the risk of no goal. Mm-hmm. If your feet are out, now you've got a chance to save yourself, but I don't know where this one stands, to be honest with you.
Just didn't like it. I didn't like it. Even if it was me, I didn't like it. Listen, goalies are great actors, okay? I've cheated every way you can possibly imagine. Any contact felt, these guys are going down, all right?
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to equipment, you should have seen me in Sudbury, guys. I put player elbow pads in the inside of my hip pants, okay? So if you were shooting through my 6 or 7 hole, I just like hit my hip out. Like, I had player elbow pads, okay?
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
No, seriously, the boys used to call me hippo hips, and I had players' elbow pads. Like, I did anything. They were taking gear out of me all the time. I never really got.
Hey, what was the rumor? Was it Belfour that had like strings from his hip to his gloves?
Garth Snow.
So he'd open up and he'd have like
his shoulder pads.
Yeah, I worked. Somebody had wood in the shoulder pads with the Islanders, Borny, and I was all over him for it because he ruined it for all of us.
Yeah, the only problem is getting caught, right?
Before we let you go, we were talking earlier in our Leaf Hour about Scotty Laughton going up against his former team, and particularly John Tortorella. Is this something that can help this guy or not?
You know what? It's funny because it helps me coming on your show because I listen to your show.
We appreciate that.
Before I was a guest, boys, right? So when I'm listening, as I'm walking, because I really don't run anymore, but I walk, I'm hearing your conversation about Laughton seems to be a Tortorella player. Why would they trade him? They're rebuilding, and I get that. But what I remember is in the locker room before a game in Carolina, our first round pick, he was a 19th overall pick, Lauri Korpikoski. Torts yells across the room because he's at the dry erase and his dry erase board marker just dries out. And he leans over and he says, Corpy, pass me a dry erase. And Corpy, we're in the meeting, guys, before the game. He goes, get it yourself. Gomer leans over to me and goes, traded.
He gone.
And he was gone. And then I'm even thinking of, I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, my first year pro, I played for John Brophy, okay? This guy was Gord Stellick's.
You're not that old.
Gord was Jim. Dude, okay, This guy didn't even call me by my name, Kipper, all year. He just called me Goaler. And if I let in a couple in a row in practice, he just tell me to go in the corner. And, like, the guys are shooting on an empty net, and there's times during practice where there's two empty nets. So, anyway, completely old school guy. We used to have Hootie and the Blowfish's tour bus when we would take our long bus trips in the East Coast League, okay?
Like, what? Okay, sure, yeah.
This is the best. It was awesome. So we have a toilet in the back, but we also have one up front where John Brophy is. Now, I walk up to the front because the one in the back is either plugged or guys are in there. And there was a kid on our team. He was our tough guy. Jeff Corbett was our name. He was a big part of our team. He was a glue guy, won a championship. And Brophy says to him, "Hey, Corby, why aren't you in the back of the bus with the rest of the idiots drinking beer and watching porno?" And Brophy's like dead serious with this kid, Jeff Corbett. Corby goes, "Because it makes your hair turn white and your nose turn red." And Brophy jumps over the table and starts strangling this kid. This was our tough guy, right? Same thing. Traded. Gone.
Traded. You know, like...
And so I'm always like, unless we're in the room, like, you don't always know why guys are getting traded. I don't know.
That is so, so true.
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful.
I don't know a better way to end the show.
I think that's wonderful.
We got Torts and Hootie.
What else do you need?
And I wore a hat for Sammy because I don't want him to be alone and getting chirped at.
That a guy. I love it. Right?
Thank you, man.
You are a snowbird yourself.
Valley, excellent stuff, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, boys. Take care. Wish me luck. We got a 10:30 start tonight. The Kings. Brutal. 1 a.m. post game.
Good luck. Hang in there. We got that one Thursday when the Leafs play the Sharks. So
a lot of
feel
coffee,
your pain.
My friend. A lot of coffee.
All right. See you, fellas.
Later, Steve Aliquette, CEO, Clear Sight Analytics, and, of course, covering the New York Rangers for MSG.
Strangling from coaches. There's some of those stories out there about
my era. 70% of the coaches could have been in jail.
Yeah. I definitely, during playing junior hockey, had my coach's stick
dinosaur.
Under my throat, pinned against the glass back in
yes.
the day. Good times.
Charges for sure. Yeah. Maybe not jail time,
Ed
but
made
charges.
Me a man.
We'll do game time because we'll play. We'll talk a little bit more about that goaltender interference after the break, but we'll do game time quickly here before we head to break. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So, talking about the Leafs and Flyers a lot tonight. One's eventually got to go in for Scott Laughton, right?
Yes, it does.
And it feels like he's getting a little bit more opportunity tonight. Playing on the third line, a more of an offensive-minded first third line with Domi and Robertson. I think tonight he shoots one in the net.
Okay.
And you're getting a pretty good number on Bet365 for it, plus 650 for a goal. Give me a Scott Laughton anytime goal. And guess what, boys? We're going to come in tomorrow, and we're going to talk about it for 15 minutes.
Sure are.
We're going to talk about 17. It for 15 minutes about the goal that he scores tonight. Another Atlantic Division game here. Ottawa Senators in Buffalo to take on the Sabres. And speaking of anytime goal scorers, give me a Dylan Cousins anytime goal against the Buffalo Sabres because their tortured fan base, who has now missed 14 straight playoff appearances, this is another little twist of the knife coming in with a hot Sens team, and Dylan Cousins coming in, going to score a goal tonight at plus 240. So there's my other little pick for tonight.
Hey, like, you do a lot of, like, leafy moping stuff in our first hour.
God.
Like, the Sabres fans, good Lord.
Yeah, but you just don't even have to invest.
Yeah, you're just checked out
you're
by
checked
Christmas.
Out. I mean, they're like, what's Josh Allen having for breakfast? That's what you're talking about every day. They're really good game in Winnipeg tonight. The two best teams in the league, Washington Capitals visiting the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets are big favorites in that game. It's minus 150. Washington, you could do worse than plus 125 for the only team in the league that's clinched a playoff spot. Is that correct? Or have the Jets now clinched a playoff
Sounds
spot?
Sounds right.
Anyways, and big one for the Flames. They host the Kraken coming off their East Coast road trip, still looking for that last playoff spot. They're a minus 140 favorite over the Kraken. Now it's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll get into a few news and notes, including a massive signing. There's a very rich NHL defenseman, and we'll tell you who it is after the break.
I hope it's me.
You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A reminder this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Going into break, we talked about a Jacob Chychrun, the same Jacob Chychrun that Ottawa traded for from Arizona, only to move on. $72 million.
Good for him, man.
That is a large number. And well-earned, by the way, because timing is everything in life, man. Not only does he have a great year, but the team has an unbelievable year. Everything's just lined up. He is the heir apparent to John Carlson, who I'm not retiring anytime soon, but he's got just the 1 year left on his deal, if I'm not mistaken. And Chychrun now becomes a must for Washington to get under contract.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah, he sure did. And to his credit, goal leaders among D, it's Makar, Werenski, and then Jacob Chychrun has 18 goals in 65 games. He is plus 24, which is extremely good, as you know. So, yeah, he's having a great year.
You just dream of a contract year like this one.
It all went right.
I mean, it's not like he wasn't going to get paid. Yeah, he was a UFA, right?
Yeah.
At the end of this year. So, like, regardless of if he had a good year or not, he would have got a pretty good contract at the end. But I don't know if it would have been at $72 million.
I think
contract.
With where money's going, no, that's not going to be.
I think he would have gotten north of nine. I think
for on the on the open market.
Yeah, on the open market.
Really?
I think with the cap going up and the need for this position, it is still underserved for 32 teams mm-hmm. to have a guy that can log the type of minutes that he logs and to provide offense and being a threat out there. Like, yeah. It is really hard. If you look down, and we had a pretty in-depth conversation in our first hour on our Leaf edition of our program about Morgan Rielly and how the look and the feel of the Toronto Maple Leafs would be much different if you had more of a producer like Chychrun than right now Morgan Rielly.
The other thing is, like, you know, I think that the NHL is too quick to give guys 8 years. They're too quick to say, we think that he's going to be good for this long because they're always trying to lower the AAV. Not Chychrun. Chychrun is 26 years old. And if you've ever seen any videos or interviews with this guy, he's a health freak. I saw Dylan Strome saying that he's trying to eliminate lights in his house in favor of beeswax candles because he's on this health and he take, you know, beef
tallows.
It's a
little different.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if you've seen him with his shirt off.
What's the name of the lawyer from Better Call Saul that, like, had no...
Saul Goodman?
No, there's, like, the senior lawyer that had, like,
Chuck.
No lights and, like, he had to, like,
yeah,
have,
yeah,
like,
Chuck,
the thing. He's
brother.
Got full Chuck. Yeah, he's got full Chuck here.
But, I mean, he's a health... My point is, he's 26, he's a health freak, he's ripped, he's 6'2", whatever... You're going to get good performance for a lot of years out of this guy.
Yeah.
Good that he's comfortable. Good that he's scoring. I think this deal is going to look like a bargain.
I agree.
It's usually guys 29, 30 that you got to flirt with. What's it going to look like at 36, 37,
for sure.
38? That's not
You're
the case.
You're going to get him
here.
To 33 or whatever
he
it
could
is.
Could sign another eight for another 12 if he produces.
Mm. Yeah, I mean.
How old will he be when this one ends?
34?
Yeah,
I mean, eight at that point seems far-fetched, but, I mean, that's 8 years from now. If any of us are still talking about it.
I mean, I'm not engaging in this fantasy. He could.
I don't know, sure. 6 years?
He could sign 40 years. Who knows what the CBA is by then? I have no idea.
We'll talk about it in
a long time
years.
From now.
We'll talk about it in 8 years.
Yeah, we will. I'll be long gone. I'll be on the beach somewhere.
Did you want to talk any more about the goaltender interference? Well, we have the WA clip.
Yeah, let's listen, because Patrick had some very strong words for the offices of Toronto.
Mm. Palmieri was out of the crease and we tipped it in, and I think their goalie pushed him away at the same time. So, but that's how I see it. And if If Toronto is afraid to overturn calls made by their referee, we don't need Toronto.
I don't actually understand what that say. Is that a threat? I don't understand what that means. You don't have a choice.
Well, he's just saying that let's get rid of that and let's just go back to the officials.
Saying? Yeah.
That's how I took it.
Okay. I thought it was like maybe we need to play so well that we don't involve Toronto so that it's not this
no,
close.
No, I got
it's like we don't need Toronto at all.
Let's leave it to the referees.
I also think it's funny how Toronto has become representative. The way that like Ottawa means government.
Yeah.
It's like Toronto now means like the rules place. Toronto just is the rules place.
That looks like every goaltender interference that gets called. He runs into his skate.
Oh, gosh, I disagree.
No, like, I mean,
that's, this one, he's outside.
I hate them all. And but, like, he skates into him, he hits him, the guy can't reset, goes in. It's like they call goaltender interference like that every night.
Through his creased.
I don't know.
No.
Ever.
It just looks exactly the same as every other one to me.
No, and like, I am of the mind that it's close. But I do think that, you know, there's both hands on the push. There is time, in my opinion, for him to get back set. But you talk to a lot of goalies. Valley said it, and people, other goalies in my Twitter mentions say goalies are incentivized to find contact at the top of their crease.
And they're really good actors, as Valley said.
You know, and you get a piece, and then you still get a chance to make the save. And if you don't, you have an out.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. I think it's a total hero call by the ref to call that goalie interference.
I don't understand. Like, if you're the ref and you see that, are they allowed to make no call? Like, let's take a look at this?
No.
Because to me, he has to call one way or the other. Because to me, the idea
they're encouraged to do that.
You have to overturn that as a no-goal call.
Yeah.
You can't definitively overturn it.
No. But, like, I think if I that's a goal.
Yeah, well, it's a goal, and then let's go look and see if it's not a goal.
But, like, for him to so definitively cross that off, to me, on the ice is the hero call.
Yeah.
But upon review, it looks like a lot of them they call back every night.
I actually think that
it looks very similar.
Are getting better at this with offsides calls. Like, I think they're erring on the side. Suzuki scored one against the Islanders where he was offside in the end, but the ref called it onside. Because I think that's
just to make sure
that's the right thing
because
to do.
If they don't, then they're in charge of making the wrong call.
Absolutely,
they'd rather
we can get it right later.
That's right.
You know, let's at least play this out, and then
we can get
it right.
Yeah, I get that. The one thing that went through my mind the moment I saw the goal disallowed was what would have happened if that was late in the third period against Canada and the U.S.
Mm.
And how that would have just. I don't know. I mean, based on where we were politically.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like.
It'd be the first ever storms the ice.
The crowd is on the ice. The band is on the field.
Which secondary was what happens in the playoffs to decide whether a team advances or not advances or wins a cup or not wins a cup. Mm. But I went Canada, USA. Mm.
Just like, bring back the foot in the crease rule.
Horrible. Yeah.
Bring back the foot in the crease.
It is looming.
That's where we're at.
It's something that's, we're not there. No, we'll never be there again. But it is something that looms. But again, I tried to make this point to Valley that these plays with contact exist on a spectrum. And when you say we're going to drop a grocery stick in or whatever and separate them into good goal, bad goal, a lot of them are going to be right here. They're going to be really close.
Yeah.
Like maybe 50-50. And so we kind of are accepting of that or should be accepting of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't think there's ever going to be a level of acceptance.
Yeah.
It's just like now you're just kind of numb to it.
Yeah.
Same difference maybe.
And a shame for the Islanders who've lost a couple of points. There was actually one against Montreal similar to that where they were on the wrong end of it. But man, it is, I don't know, the Islanders, it just feels like how I said Vancouver's finding a way. Mm. The Islanders feel like they're finding the opposite.
They're finding a way not to do it?
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right.
Oilers, no McDavid or Draisaitl for three games this week. And I was just looking at their schedule, and it really sucks that they don't have McDavid or Draisaitl this week. Because tomorrow night, marquee matchup between them and the Dallas Stars, rematch of the Western Conference Finals. And then Saturday night, Battle of Alberta, no McDavid.
Monster Battle of Alberta.
Sucks. You know, they're just not a great team to watch. Those two, I mean, they're the two best players in the league.
They're still battling. Nuge. Nuge is now the man.
Nuge, don't sell me Nuge.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm just telling you that's what they have.
I know he's fine.
I'm not dialing in for the Nuge. Like, he's a good player.
What's wrong with the Nuge?
He's fine.
He actually might be the most.
The Drake in Ottawa. We got the Nuge in Edmonton.
He might be the most undial-in-forable player in the league. Like, he's responsible, fine. Smart,
yeah.
Patient.
Yes. Had a very good NHL career. First overall.
Connor
pick.
And Leon, get a good rest. Get that's good all rest. I'm telling you
that,
right now.
Just do you think that's part of it?
All of it.
They won't be available for any of the three games this week. McDavid appeared to tweak something lower body.
I do believe they're hurt, and I do believe that there's a reason, like there's a legitimate reason. They're not just resting them, but what was the stat the other day that they're responsible for something like 35% of every goal scored for Edmonton?
Sounds right.
That seems really light to me. They
you thought it was higher?
I bet they're in on over 40? Half. Yeah.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
It's not half, is it?
I just would think that they
don't
would
think
be
they're
involved.
In on half.
Yeah, that's probably ridiculous.
But it's almost feels like it.
They're in a divisional dogfight, eh? Like, they're tied with L.A. right now. L.A. has one more game in hand, but they're only five back of Vegas. Like, they're...
What did Doug McLean say? If Edmonton plays L.A., they lose in the first round?
He suggested it was possible.
L.A.'s... They're coming on.
LA's been smoking teams.
Yeah.
They put up a couple of touchdowns in their last two games. And then the winner of that division, you know, likely gets Minnesota, which no offense to Minnesota, but they've been rotten since, I don't know, the new year.
Wasted 8 days?
Vegas, Minnesota, waste 8 days for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally. Could be one of the best hockey lines in history.
Yeah. It's also because it was Daryl Sutter, just like, a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Just
had it ready to go.
Waste 8 days.
A waste of 8 days.
That's all that was.
So
it's one thing to say it, but then it
happened.
Happened.
That was delightful.
So I've been right about it.
Ovi tonight, back at it.
Give us the breakdown. How many games left? How many does he need?
He needs seven. And I think
seven to pass, six to tie.
And they have 12 games left.
Are you handicapping those odds? Let's look at their opponents, shall we, folks?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I feel like he would have maybe his most goals against the Thrashers Jets franchise. If I quickly look that up.
That's who they got tonight?
Yep. They're in
Winnipeg tonight, which people are debating on what kind of welcome he'll have.
Two interesting things. Oh, yeah.
Right?
High Ukrainian population?
100,000, I think. Over 100,000 is in Winnipeg.
Got a pierogi tattoo. Shout out Jets talk. Of the 12 Capitals games left, only four are against playoff teams. Eight are against non-playoff teams. They end the season Columbus, Islanders, Pittsburgh. So he's got some softer teams to jump all over. Here's a question. Here's a big question.
His numbers are absurd.
Yeah, absurd. Winnipeg. Hold on. Let me ask my big question.
Give him to me. All right.
Go ahead.
You first. You first, please.
102 points. They are... in the lead by greatest, 12 points up in their division. Would you not want to rest a 38-year-old, 39-year-old before the playoffs if you're trying to win the Stanley Cup? Should Alex Ovechkin be playing and risking injury game against the Islanders and Penguins to finish the season when your spot's locked up?
Yes.
And who's going to tell him that?
Carbs? Our boy Carberry?
Hey, Carbs. We like Carbs, but he doesn't have the stones to do that.
So they shouldn't prioritize winning the Stanley Cup for Alex Ovechkin's personal chase?
Yeah, this is all about the chase, buddy.
I thought you were a team guy.
I am.
I thought, no, you're not. You're not. You're about the name on the back.
I'm just telling you that this thing is way too big. Way too big. And
all your friends talking about it?
Like, who knows? Like,
no.
Some people are saying you shouldn't try to score now in empty net goals. I'm like, we can all have a heart attack and die right now. Okay, all of us.
It would be crazy if
together?
We all did it at the same time.
I don't want to live without any of you guys, so let's do it.
I don't like the odds.
Like my cat.
The odds are against that happening. But as long as it's out there.
Okay.
Don't.
I'm with you. Get there.
Get there as fast as you can.
But I am dead serious that... they are the best team in the NHL this year. Are they? What is a priority?
I think with the way he plays, he rests on the ice. He stands where he wants to stand.
I think he's going to set the hits record in the league.
He skates when he wants to skate. He stops when he wants to stop.
What a life.
He can do whatever he wants. He's fine.
In 74 career games against the Winnipeg Jets and what would be the Atlanta Thrashers, he has Oh, 56 goals.
10 seconds.
What? 56 goals and 45
assists.
We gotta go. 74 games.
Enjoy your game
Thanks
tonight.
Thanks for the heads up,
Jet Stock.